God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. Imagine a man who continually condemns others for adultery and later is found out to be cheating on his wife. Or maybe a woman who condemns alcoholism and you read in the newspaper where she has been arrested for a DUI. Why do we enjoy seeing someone who speaks harsh words, condemning words, later on get caught in the very thing that they were condemning? There's a part of us, for some reason, in our flesh, we enjoy that. We're quick to point out the hypocrisy of other people, but do we recognize the hypocrisy in our own lives? I don't like people who lie to me, yet I have lied. I don't like that men sneak about and have intimate relations with other women, and yet I have looked upon other women. I don't like it when I see workers being lazy, but I too, Dan, don't say anything, I too have been lazy. We often avoid or ignore seeing the negatives in our own lives, but how quick are we to scream out and point out and exaggerate even the negatives and even those perceived negatives, right, that others have in our own lives? We're so quick to call out the sin of others, but slow to acknowledge our own. How many of you would enjoy, maybe this has happened to you, it's never happened to me, but how much would you enjoy seeing this after this person driving this white pickup truck swung around you or cut you off, speeded past you? How much would you enjoy if you would have drove by and see them pulled over ahead of you? Wouldn't you snicker? Wouldn't you laugh? That's part of, again, that we have that natural, we just love it to see somebody caught. Somebody who did something, again, either that is truly wrong or something that we perceive as wrong. Again, we often excuse our own sin, or we attempt to package it in a different manner, or we minimize it. We justify it. I said before, there's something interesting about our brains. I think it's just kind of amazing that if you say, why did I do that? I mean, just in seconds, in some sense, you're going to come up with some reasoning, some justification. Quite often, it had nothing to do with you. At least that's your first response, I think. Quite often, you immediately, you know, if you can't find your keys, what did my wife do with those keys? Right? That is a natural response that we have to work hard against concerning our spiritual life. Listen, we do the same thing about organizations, right? Or cities, or schools, or countries. You know, my school is, boy, it's the greatest. Or my country's the greatest, or my city, or my college team, whatever. So, and the problem is when we do that is we can also find ourselves then wanting to cover up or hide or ignore those actual negatives that are happening in our countries, in our schools, in our families, and in whatever organization that we're a part of. We want to hold them up as if they are righteous and holy and good in and of themselves. We don't want to accept the reality that if men and women are involved in it, there is sin. We often want, I think each of us want grace in our own lives, but isn't it true that we are slow to offer it up to others? We want to judge others, we want others to judge us on our actions. We don't want to be judged by the color of our skin. We don't want to be judged by the school we went to or the social economic level that we're at. We don't want others to look down upon us because of our education level. We want people to look at us and say, this is a person who's done something or in some way, shape, or form is valuable in and of themselves, but separate from those things. But yet, can you see in yourselves on the other side, you're so quick to paint somebody, to put somebody in a box or label them as some type of person in some group. You know, to me, I think we as Christians, if we want to live a life that honors God, we got to work towards attempting to, best way we can. Listen, we're all biased. We can't totally remove it, but we can have the desire and work towards that, of not putting people in boxes. That they're a certain race, they went to a certain school, they're a certain political party, whatever. We got to be careful that we don't put people in those positions and therefore find ourselves being judgmental and negative towards them. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." This is not my main text this morning. My main text is going to be out of Romans chapter 2. But I want to read to you so that we can get into context here. In Romans chapter 2, Paul is making a statement. All of the early chapters of Romans is very much forcefully trying to show us that each and every one of us are empty before God. None of us has a right to say, "I belong and you do not." Each of us go through the same pathway. And all of our history, all of our past, all of our awards in life, so to speak, all of those boxes that we may put ourselves in, that we've done this or didn't do that, or we're in this part, or all of those things mean nothing when it comes to our righteousness that we receive through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants us to understand that we are all sinners. Our text this morning again comes from Romans chapter 2. And the point that you need to understand before we get to Romans chapter 2 is that's the context of what comes next. We are all sinners. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, or it's also going to be on the slides. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. "Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness? Do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience?" In a sense, I interpret that to mean presuming on His riches or kindness, forbearance, and patience is, are you taking those things for granted? Do you take for granted the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also to the Greek." That last line is basically meaning it encapsulates all of us, the Jews, the Greeks. If I was going to say that this morning, I'd say Americans, the Chinese, the Indians, all of us. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. And the last two verses, "But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first, and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for giving us a desire to come out here this morning and to worship you and to learn of your word. Help each of us to set aside all the stuff that's going on in our lives and simply listen and respond to your still small voice. Help us to recognize that you're speaking to us this morning, that we have something that we each can learn. Help us to have the mindset of, what does this mean to me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I think there's a couple main overall points here that Paul is wanting us to understand from Romans chapter 2, is he's saying, quit being so judgmental towards others. Soften your heart towards others. And secondly, pause and get focused on examining yourself. Get off of your high horse. Stop your chest thumping. This idea of how valuable you are, how important you are, how righteous you are. Social media has given us scary, I want to say. Social media is like anything else, right? It can be wonderful. Boy, it can be very much not wonderful. But it's given us an opportunity with simply the push of a button to judge countries and races and political parties and neighbors, and just with a push of a button, we can proclaim everyone else to be less valuable than ourselves. Do you understand when from Paul's perspective, when you're standing there and you're pointing fingers and you're screaming out how somebody else is not doing my right, do you understand you're putting yourself in the position of judge and jury? You're proclaiming your righteousness, your value over those others. How many people today are screaming out loud their smarts and in attempting to indicate or to suggest others are not smart, are not intelligent, are not knowledgeable? Paul wants us to understand we're all guilty. Do you find yourself excusing your own sinful deeds and yet pointing out and screaming out what others are doing or what you perceive they are doing as wrong? Paul uses some strong words here. He says, you who judge have done the same thing. And I gotta say, I wrestle with that. What does he mean? If a murderer, have I committed murder? Paul just says, listen, those of you who are pointing the finger at others, you yourself have done the same thing. And I guess to some extent, Jesus, at least in his expression about committing adultery, says, listen, if you look upon a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery. From the perspective of God, sin begins in the heart. And it's not about those momentary thoughts. Listen, I don't think we can. We don't have the ability to avoid ever having a momentary thought that's negative and wrong and sinful. But listen, we can choose to not dwell on those things.
Amen.
Paul's saying, listen, you, those of you who are pointing a finger, understand, you yourself have done those very things. I got to say, it's more palatable, it's more acceptable, it's easier to grasp what James says in the New Testament when he talks about sin. He just basically says, listen, if you've committed one, you've committed them all. I don't think any of us here can disagree with that, unless you think you're perfect and you've not quite sinned against God. I recognize that. I know I've not done what everyone has done concerning sinning against God, but I can recognize my own sinful state. There are some aspects of my life, some corners of my life that I've not yet quite got control of that should be keeping me humble. Jesus here gives us a warning about having this judgmental attitude where we're standing up pointing fingers. And he says in Matthew 7:2, he says, for with judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it will be measured to you. I don't know about you, but when I read that scripture, that makes me pause when I point a finger and talk about how wrong you are in life.
Amen.
Because Jesus is saying, listen, if you want to have that kind of attitude towards others, then expect that God is going to have that attitude towards you. Let's be honest with ourselves. Don't we have a tendency to look at others and think of their sin? We want to put a tight screen on their actions. But boy, we want it to be a loose screen on ours, right? In other words, we want to look at every little teeny thing they say. And isn't that so true? Especially if we find ourselves upset with an individual or a group or an entity of some kind, and we all of a sudden everything they do is wrong. Jesus here is saying, you know, in a sense, and I'm saying it sarcastically here, but on the opposite side, it's like saying, go ahead. You have that judgmental attitude, but understand someday you too will have that same attitude towards you. I don't know about you, but I read that scripture and I say, God, show me, help me to have a graceful heart. Help me to have a loving, compassionate heart towards others. I want to have the heart of God. I want to be like that. I want to be like you, Jesus. Praise God, that's the kind of attitude He wants to have towards us. But we can choose. Listen, you and I can choose how we treat others and how we look at others and how we choose to judge others. And Jesus says, be careful. Be careful of your negative attitudes. Get off of your high horse. Secondly, don't take His kindness for granted. Again, Paul said in Romans chapter 2, I want to get his words. He says, verse 4, do you presume on the riches of His kindness or forbearance and patience? Don't presume. Don't take His kindness for granted. You who might find yourselves in a place where you perceive to be worldly blessed, don't take that for granted. Don't take that as a stamp of approval on what you're doing. Jesus reminds us over and over again in the Gospels to be careful that worldly blessings does not necessarily prove to others that you are living in such a manner that is honorable to God. Proverbs is full of statements of the writer of Proverbs and Psalms, this understanding that there are times that people who are living totally unrighteous lives that appear to be blessed, at least to those around them. Maybe in their own heart they recognize they're not. Do not take His blessings and His grace for granted. Appreciate it. Listen, our company, when I first got hired, and it seems like it flips back and forth, the chemical company that I work at, it seems like, if I remember, when I came there, at least it was perceived that they didn't want to hire a family. They switched back and forth because there's brothers that work there and sons and fathers. But at one point when I got hired in there, there was this concept they didn't want to hire a family. And you can understand, those of you who've been out in the workforce, is the challenges that can come up when you hire family members of employees. And one of the worst cases, of course, is ends up where someone who is supervising another who's a part of his family. So picture someone who maybe someone whose son, or in my case, maybe my son-in-law. My son-in-law gets hired at the plant, and I'm supervising him. It's not the case, but I'm saying, just imagine if that were true. If I was in a position of supervision, he gets hired and he works for me. Now you can see the problems that can come up with that. I can treat my son in a better way, my son-in-law in a better way. But here Paul is saying, think about it from the son-in-law's perspective. He says, don't you take your position for granted. The son-in-law could come to work and take this procedure. But my dad's the boss. I can do whatever I want. It just don't matter. If I don't want to work, I'm not going to work. I don't have to do that filthy, hard job. That's for those other people. See, I'm special. I'm the son-in-law of the boss. Matter of fact, I'm not even going, I'm going to come in late. I just do whatever I want. Doesn't matter. I'm in a special position. Paul here is saying, listen, don't you presume the grace and mercy of God.
Amen.
Don't disrespect it in that manner and set to think that I can do anything I want. It just doesn't matter. Because I'm in this special position. Romans, Paul, elsewhere throughout it, he really tries to make it clear to us that we're all in the same position before Christ. We're all empty-handed. You are no more valuable to God than the person that you consider as an enemy. What if that person is in another political party? What if that person is in another state, another country? Whatever that person is, whoever that person is, that you consider to be less valuable, not honoring God, understand that person is no less valuable to God than you are. From God's perspective, we're all valuable, and He's reaching out to all of us. Praise God, Jesus died for who? For all of us. And if you want to understand and grasp and recognize that He died for you, then you also got to see and understand and recognize He died for them as well. Those individuals that you perceive as enemies. And yet, what did Jesus tell us about enemies anyway? If you recognize and see someone as an enemy, that ought to be someone that you ought to be overly concerned about is trying to reach for Him. Jesus died for all. You who sit in judgment of others are storing up judgment upon yourselves. Paul calls upon the arrogant and speaks of their impotent heart. Just another way of saying unrepentant. I put this picture of that rock up there. This is the idea of the unrepentant heart. Your heart is hardened. You got this concept that you are God's gift to the world. And you're the one that's standing in the precipice to point out to everyone else where they're in the wrong. You don't recognize the wrongness that's in your own life. Not only towards God, but also towards your fellow men and women in this world. You're hard-hearted towards God, and you believe you're owed what He's given to you. And you can find yourselves again feeling as though no one else deserves what you've got. Paul is warning us not to have this kind of heart. There are those who are living arrogantly in the family of God, or at least proclaiming themselves to be. And Paul calls them out, saying, some of you have unrepentant hearts. Hearts that have not been turned. In a sense, I think Paul is saying there are some of you who are proclaiming to be followers of God, and yet you are not yet in the family. You've not yet put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not yet born again. I think Paul here is saying if you have continual judgment attitudes or towards others, thinking they're less valuable than you, then he sees that you are unrepentant. You don't understand your standing before God if you find yourself continually being judgmental towards others and their standing or lack of standing towards God. I found this little statement. An arrogant person considers himself perfect. This is the chief harm of arrogance. It interferes with a person's main task in life, becoming a better person. This is true as far as anything in life, right? I work as an electrician in a chemical plant. And I don't know about you, but if I have this mindset that I've got it all figured out, it's a scary thing. I can't learn from anybody else. I can't. I go into a job and I just know I've got this figured out. Next thing you know, I kill myself or get someone else killed or damage equipment. We always, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether you're going to school, whatever job you have, you need to have the mindset that you don't have it all figured out. And of course, Paul's focus point here this morning and mine is you don't have God all figured out. You're not capable of putting Him in a little box and say, this is everything that's right and good about God, and I got it all figured out. You have that mindset, you're missing out. You're missing out on so much. You cannot become the better person that God wants you to be. Listen, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ should be a continual growing thing. This idea of being a mature Christian, ultimately, we're never at full maturity. We always have something to learn. And sad, isn't it true about our human nature? There are some things that we need to relearn. Let go of this mindset that you have it all figured it out. Have it all figured out. Repentance Repentance will lead you, having the correct mindset towards God and towards your fellow men. Repentance will lead you to seeing others in a new light, to see them as God sees them, as a part of His creation that is fully capable of honoring Him. They're of value. But listen, Paul here, the whole point of what he's leading us to is there's coming a day when all this will make clear, when it'll be washed out. When none of us can stand behind any kind of a badge of saying, I'm this, or I'm of this family, I'm of this group. At some point, it's all going to wash out and be made clear. Only God is the scorekeeper. It's not you. It's not even yourself. Excuse me, it's not even yourself towards yourself. And it's not you towards others. Ultimately, God is going to be the scorekeeper. Amen. Again, Paul's giving us some pretty strong words. In verse 5, he says he's storing up wrath. And most importantly, I don't know about you, but I find this as a good thing. We should see this as a good thing. God shows no partiality. I can imagine some of you here probably said you felt like you've not been given the right opportunities in life, right? Because of who you are. Again, whether it be your race, whether it be your education level, you know, whether it be whether you're a male or a female, your political affiliation, whether you're rich or poor, good looking or ugly. Right? All of these things get in the way of some of what we want to do in this world. The world is partial. You and I, if we're honest with ourselves, we are partial. And now as Christians, we should always have that mindset. We want to get better, right? But all of us, we wrestle with this problem of being partial. But Paul here is saying, listen, God's not partial. All of those things that you think make you more valuable than everyone else, from God's perspective, it doesn't matter. What'd you do with Jesus Christ? Don't you understand here, Paul is making a point. We have enough work just straightening up our own lives. Why do we want to spend so much time trying to straighten up the lives of others when we, in some shape or form, need to be continually working on our own lives?
Amen.
Ultimately, it is our faith that will be judged. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did we have a faith that made a change in our lives? Let me ask you, are you using your view of God just to make yourself feel good? And holding a righteous or self-righteous attitude towards others? Or have you truly humbled yourself before God and in turn are attempting to make a difference in the world around you and bringing glory to God by having that tender heart towards others? The first view is of no good to you, to God, or to others. The second view is valuable to all three. Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will pay each person according to what he has done." We cannot make excuses. We should never make excuses for our actions. But listen, understand, none of us here are capable of buying our way to heaven. That's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. What he's talking about is we should be examining ourselves. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be judged against absolutely everything I've ever did in my life. All of those things can be put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if you simply proclaim, humble yourself before God and say, God, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I seek your grace, your mercy. And praise God, He does not limit that grace if you ask for it.
Amen.
But it requires the right attitude. And Paul here is saying, there are some of you out there, Paul is saying, there's some of you out there who are sitting proclaiming these things and yet walking around hard-hearted towards others. And he's saying, listen, examine yourself. I'm questioning whether you truly have made that decision or not. Because if you are so harshly and hard-hearted towards others, you've not really got into that. You've not really received the Lord Jesus Christ because your heart has not been turned. Because that is a part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Listen, I'm not talking about those momentarily times when we feel judgmental. That is part of our old flesh. That nature that never goes away when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our lives. But listen, we should never embrace it. We should never sit down and hold tightly to those views. We should allow ourselves to be influenced as we read the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God being spoken. We should spend so much more time examining our lives rather than the lives of others. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? And if you have, I think Paul here is saying clearly, it will be reflected in the life you live and in the attitude that you have towards others. Again, God shows no partiality. Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an example when he shares. There's an individual, I'm going to just say he's a sinner, but he was called a publican. Right? You may remember the publicans or the tax collectors that were looked at as traitors to their country, traitors to their fellow men. This sinner basically goes to the temple. And then you have a religious man who's standing right next to him. Those of you who know your scripture, what was a religious man's view? This overly self-righteous religious man's view was, Lord, thank you that I'm not like that guy over there. That was the attitude that he had. Paul here is saying in Romans, don't you be walking around with that attitude. What did the other man do? The man who was the dirty, rotten sinner, he just simply thumped his chest and asked for mercy. Simple as that. Thumped his chest and asked for mercy. And Paul says the one who thumped his chest, excuse me, Jesus says the one who thumped his chest and walked away, he received the mercy. The other guy received nothing. In a sense, Jesus talks about those of us who are walking around self-righteously so that others may see our righteousness. You receive your reward. That is the reward of what other individuals may give you because of that perception of your righteousness in this world. You want a reward from the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to humble yourself. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who's had a judgmental attitude towards others and recognizes that they need to pause, that they need to step back. Maybe you recognize that your heart in some way has hardened towards others, towards an individual, towards a group of individuals. This is a wonderful time. Listen, the altar is open. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, this is a time, this is a moment. Examine yourselves. Listen, if we, each and every one of us, would spend 95-98% of our time examining ourselves and maybe just a couple percent examining others, maybe we could make a difference in the world. There is a time and a place to confront somebody. But Paul here is saying, listen, if your mindset, if you're continually, you've got this view that you're always needing to confront somebody else, you better examine as to whether you are in the Lord. How is your heart this morning, when you saw that picture of that rock, is that a picture of how your heart is towards others? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Help us this morning, each of us, to take a moment and examine where we are concerning our faith. And secondly, those of us who recognize that we have made that decision, that we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to examine as to whether we have delved into being more and more like that old hard-heartedness that the unrepentant have. Help us to recognize that each of us still need to make that decision on a daily basis to say, God, you are merciful. Help me to be merciful. Lord, if there be anybody here that needs to talk to you in any way, shape, or form, Lord, I encourage you to press upon their hearts. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord's speaking to your heart in any way, if there's something I said that makes you feel as though you want to talk to the Lord, again, I know in the days of social distancing, I'm not going to run up next to your side, but I'll be standing here, and if you want me to come to your side and you ask me, I will come to your side. The altar is open. If the Lord's speaking to you in any way, I encourage you to come.